sadhana and sadhya of bhakti. Srila Prabhupada often said that in Krishna consciousness, the means and the end are the same on the absolute platform. And Srimad Bhagavatam also says, bhaktya sanjataya bhaktya, that, well, in a rough translation, bhakti comes from bhakti. So, what exactly is the distinction between sadhana, bhakti, and sadhya? The distinction is a matter of maturation, stage of maturation. Now, Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, as you know, he has listed different items of devotional service, different categories of devotional service, and then he's explained his rationale for making the distinctions he did and the inclusions and exclusions. And he raised the question of bhava-bhakti and prema-bhakti, which in general are considered sadhya. And he gave the answer that although both are the same and can be considered sadhya, but again, prema is a more condensed form of bhava, and he felt that the distinction was significant enough to place it in a separate category. Now, having attended level one, or at least a japa weekend, you've probably heard about the central role of japa in bhakti. Of course, the same applies. We chant in sadhana, we chant in sadhya. As Srila Prabhupada said, chanting accomplishes chanting. But still, we should have in mind the goal when we chant. And in fact, the chanting is a touchstone, Nama Chintamani Krishna. It can fulfill all desires. So we should be clear about what our desire is, what our goal is, so that the chanting will bring us to the goal we want. There's a story that a yogi or someone was sitting under a desire tree. Desire trees are similar to touchstones. They can fulfill all desires. And without much consideration, he happened to think of a tiger, and immediately a tiger came in and ate him. So we have to be careful about what we desire when we chant, because the holy name may just fulfill our desire. And so we want to be clear about what our best interest is, you know. What desire, if fulfilled, will bring us the greatest benefit, the greatest happiness, the greatest satisfaction. And, my dear devotees, what would that be? Sorry? service, any eternal service to whoa, Buddha Hari Das.
Desire to run along the banks of the Jamuna, half mad, shouting the names.
So, that aspiration with you. Develop pure love for Radha Krishna. So the holy name is such that depending on your desire, you can chant the holy name and stay in the material world. You can chant the holy name and end up in the Brahma Jyoti. You can chant the holy name and end up in Vaikuntha or Ayodhya or Dwarka or Vrindavan. The holy name has that power. I'll read Srila Rupa Goswami's definition of sadhana bhakti because it's very significant, as all of his words are. Kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhava sa sadhanabhida nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakatyam kriti sadhyata. Srila Prabhupada translates the verse. When transcendental devotional service by which love for Krishna is attained is executed by the senses, it is called sadhana bhakti, or the regulative discharge of devotional service. Such devotion eternally exists within the heart of every living entity. The awakening of this eternal devotion is the potency of devotional service in practice. So, every definition has two elements. Anyway, that's a bit technical. But part of this definition is that sadhana bhakti are the practices by which bhava bhakti is attained. In other words, if we are engaged in something that may pass as sadhana bhakti, but if we don't actually develop ecstatic love of Godhead, it's not really sadhana bhakti. Or it may be some sort of attempt at sadhana bhakti, but it's not being executed properly. And Srila Rupa Goswami, at the end of the list of 64 items of devotional service, he mentions five. And he says that even a slight association with any one of these five can very quickly bring one to bhava bhakti. But we associate with them day after day, year after year. So what's the problem? So the acharyas who've commented on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they say, and again there's a phrase of Rupa Goswami's that they use to explain their conclusion, but their conclusion is that it is true if one engages in these activities without committing offenses. Rupa Goswami uses some phrase like open-hearted, and they say what that really means is that even a slight association with any one of the five processes will very quickly bring one to the stage of bhava-bhakti, will very quickly awaken ecstatic love of God if one does so without committing offenses. And that is our focus here, the most important sadhana of chanting the holy name, to do it without committing offenses. Or shall we say, to make the effort to avoid committing offenses, which brings us to the clearing stage. And when the offenses are cleared, the anarthas are cleared, then we just progress more and more. And we will come to the goal. And there's another point here, that nitya siddhasya bhavasya, this principle is also explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, nitya siddha krishna prema sadhya kabu nai shravanadi sudha chitte karaye udai. The pure love for Krishna is eternally established in the hearts of the living entities. It is not something to be gained from another source. When the heart is purified by hearing and chanting, this love naturally awakens. So, becoming a little more specific, we all have an eternal relationship with Krishna in one of his forms. And that, you know, love for that particular form of Krishna is already there within the heart. It doesn't come from any other source. It's already there. And by offenseless chanting, that pure love is awakened, that eternal relationship is revealed. So we should have that in mind, that we're chanting the holy name of Krishna. The holy name of Krishna is Krishna. Hare is a way of addressing Radharani. We're praying to Radha and Krishna to engage us in their service. And I believe the day after tomorrow we'll be learning. Prabhupada said that when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we're praying, O Radharani, O Krishna, please engage me in your service. And some of the acharyas have elaborated on that basic prayer for each of the 16 names in the Maha Mantra, like a prayer of Radharani Krishna. So, yes, now a very important point in this development of attraction for Krishna or longing for Krishna is hearing about Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam. That's another one of the five most potent items. And because we all have the problem that we don't, well, I mean to different degrees, but we don't really have the sense that Krishna is a person because we're so conditioned. And, you know, we think of Krishna as a concept or an idea or something, but that he's a person, that he has feelings, that he has desires. It's a little hard, you know, because we're conditioned and our relationship with him hasn't developed so much. But by hearing about Krishna, we get the sense that he is a person, and not just any old person. I mean, he's not old at all, he's eternally useful, but a very, you know, beautiful, wonderful, merciful person. During the kirtan, I just happened to think of something that Srila Prabhupada had said that I heard when I was in Gorakhpur. Srila Prabhupada had said that if you read the Krishna book, then whatever you see will remind you of Krishna. So in Gorakhpur, we were staying at a big estate that belonged to Hanuman Prasad Poddar. It had been his personal residence, Sri Krishna Niketan, the founder of the Gita Press. And for a few days, it really was just like that. I read the Krishna book, and everything. Of course, it was like a palace. It was easy to think of Nanda Bhavan, and there were agricultural fields, and then there was like a lot of trees. So it's easy to think of Vrindavan. And then, but in Krishna's pastimes, I mean, within that culture, we would use these terms. They're like sudras, they're vaishyas, they're kshatriyas, they're brahmins. And everyone around generally would fall in one of those categories. I mean, even in the West, they might have not used that terminology or be conscious of the distinctions, but these are natural distinctions. And so this person can remind us someone in Krishna Lila. So our specific goal here is to, you know, to think of Krishna when we're chanting. I mean, our focus is on hearing. But if our mind is filled with Krishna Lila, which includes, you know, the name, the form, the qualities, and the pastimes with the associates, then it's very possible, even likely, that when we chant, these thoughts will come to mind. And thinking of Krishna as beautiful as he is, and merciful as he is, and wonderful as he is, we may get that sense that I wish I could be with Krishna. I wish I could be with Krishna tending the cows. And when Prabhupada would talk about Krishna, we would also feel that way. Of course, we wanted to be with Prabhupada, but Prabhupada, we knew, was with Krishna, so we wanted to be with Prabhupada with Krishna. And, of course, he put it in such a way that it was sort of easy for us to relate to. Like he said, you know, I want to, you know, go to Krishna for the kachoris. Well, I think that's something any of us could appreciate as a pleasing situation, to be eating kachoris with Krishna. So and, It happens by reading the Krishna book or Srimad Bhagavatam or Brihad Bhagavatamrita or any of those books pursuance of Srimad Bhagavatam, that one has that sense, you know, I would like to serve Krishna. You know, I'd like to serve Krishna personally. Always servant of the servant of the servant, but I would like to serve Krishna eternally. And devotees have commented, like in New Vrindavan, they commented on the idea that if we read Krishna's pastimes at night, like Srila Prabhupada instituted the program that devotees would read the Krishna book, have hot milk and read the Krishna book at night before taking rest. Then in the morning when we chant our japa, the thoughts of Krishna's pastimes from the Krishna book will come into our minds. And that will, bring us to that mood of longing to be with Krishna and serve Krishna. I recently asked someone what he was reading. A very good devotee, and he said, "Well, he's not so good at reading, but he had gotten a lot out of Shivaram Swami's book, Krishna Sangati, because in Krishna Sangati you really get a sense that Krishna is a person." It's all based on Srimad Bhagavatam and other Puranas and scriptures. You really get the sense that Krishna is a person. Like it reads almost like a novel, you know. Krishna's left Vrindavan, he's in Mathura, the gopas and gopis are suffering in separation. But Krishna's also thinking about them. He's also feeling separation from them. The way the book draws out the issues, he also is confronted by the duality between love and duty. Like his real love is for the residents of Vrindavan, but his duty has brought him to Mathura. And this is this dynamic, this tension, this pull between love and duty is a constant theme of the book, and Krishna himself deals with it. So it's one example. But I also felt the same way reading the book, that you really feel Krishna is a person that you can love, you know, and who will reciprocate your love. And so the two go together, you know, reading Krishna book, Srimad Bhagavatam or similar books, developing attraction for Krishna as a person, developing the sense that one can have a real relationship with him, and chanting. And chanting in that mood while trying to give up offenses will bring us to sadhya, to bhava bhakti. And bhava bhakti is beyond sadhana. Bhava Bhakti, it just takes its own course. You know, once you're in Bhava Bhakti, it just takes its own course and it will naturally mature and ripen and bring one to Prema Bhakti. So These are the statements of the scripture and our previous acharyas. We have faith in their statements, and the more we try to implement what they've directed properly, you know, while making the effort to give up offenses, we will experience the things that they're talking about, and we'll have confidence. Yes, if I just continue with the process, then the result is guaranteed. I will reach the goal by their grace. Hare Krishna.